been on or whatever, I got no witness on the inside of that. But see, the Bible says the word is good in this season. It's not just about something I know, bringing something I know here out of my head or something. Because how many know is it supposed to be the word of the Lord that he's speaking to us right now, at this time, out of someone's spirit, not out of your head. So, this morning, there was none of that. I'm looking and I'm looking and I sat down, and all of a sudden I heard this. Why I had to tell you all of that is because that's what's been happening to me all the time. Deceiving lying spirits. Why do spirits want to lie to you? Because they want to deceive you. Now deception is you're believing a lie, but to you it is truth or fact. Have y'all ever done that? You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be in spiritual matters or whatever. Have you ever believed a lie, but you thought it was the truth to find out later, or facts, the word's truth, nothing else. Or find out later that that's not what the facts was. That's what lying spirits do. And they do it about anything and everything. And the best lies usually have is the truth. Y'all remember whenever he came to Jesus, whenever Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, right? He came to tempt him and all that. And at one point he told him, cast yourself down from here. He said, look around here and all this glory of these kingdoms and everything, I'll give unto you because it's mine. And he was telling the facts, right? It was given to him by Adam and Eve, the authority and the kingdoms. The Bible says Satan right now is the god of this world because of the power of the air. He rules. Well, Jesus knew that was the facts, but he came back and told him what? The truth. That's what would happen. The days that we live in right now, I'm telling you, even with Christians, a lot of Christians, there is such lying spirits and deceiving spirits and such deception in the body. Now, I did not know it, but I found out that there is churches. I have a family member that goes to a church in another state or whatever, say that or whatever. Their church is, to my knowledge and what she's saying, is going to vote whether to allow gay and lesbian ministers on the pulpit. And she says if that happens, you know, she's going to leave. She's out. Well, why would somebody be that way? The reason why we would be that way is because how many knows the word from beginning to end speaks against homosexuality and lesbianism? Not my opinion. I could care less. Nothing to me. But according to the word, it's wrong. And whatever the word says is wrong, it's wrong. Whether I would prefer it not to be, just like you heard Scotty Reed tell you the story, you know, when he read the Bible where it says love your enemies. He did not want that to be the truth. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you are a Christian and you are the biggest drug addict around here, smoking, cussing. I don't care. Don't ever change the truth, ever. Just because it is against something that you're doing or that you are right now or whatever. Because how many knows all of this as becoming, the Bible says we're being born again. Now we have been born again, but how many knows that salvation is being worked out through our soul, through our physical body, all of that. And then one day our physical bodies will be redeemed, we'll get glorified by it and all that. But until that comes, we all got issues. We all may still have sins that we have to deal with from time to time, right? The book of Hebrews, 12, talks about lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, right? So whatever our issues are, don't ever change the word. What I mean by that is you'll have people that say they have a problem doing something. Or we'll just call it a sin or whatever the case is. It doesn't please the Lord and they know. But they can't say to stop or whatever the case might be. Don't ever say, well, God knows I need this. Now, better hear what I'm telling you. Better not ever. Oh, I just did too much of a hurry this morning. I told Scotty on the way over here, I said, I'm like jerking on the inside here. Sorry about that. Beth, you should have told me, or did you try? I can't see this. Back there? I'm looking at this whole thing here, but anyway, we got it. So what we never want to do is
make it okay for us, whatever it is we're doing. Whether it's something we're thinking that doesn't line up with the Word, something we're saying doesn't line up with the Word, or something we're doing, or habits, or anything. Don't ever change the Word to fit your circumstances and think it's okay, because that is an open door to deception. Because you get a little bit, the Bible talks about a little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. So even though you might not be lined up with it, it might be against you, don't change it. Because if you change it, then you can't change. You can't come out. And you don't ever want to be in that place. Now, oh my goodness, let's see where we want to go here. Let me look at this one right quick. Beth, I think we might want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1 and maybe the whole chapter here, I don't know. Give her just a minute and she'll try to get it up on the screen, because she didn't have no notes or nothing. Usually you give her, did you need something? Starting in verse 1. Usually I give her my notebook or whatever. She needs it to get all the scriptures and stuff down, but she didn't have that this morning, so give her just a minute. All right, verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now they had all this stuff going on. There was some that was saying the resurrection had already passed and all that. So they got a lot of stuff going on when you get up to this point. Verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you." He wouldn't say that unless they're going to be trying. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That in the Amplified reads this way: "Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians comes first, has come. And the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition." Verse 4, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God." We can see this happening, can't we? All over the place. Even in the churches, some of them. You go on and he says, "or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." In other words, he's got an appointed time to be revealed. Verse 7, "for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not" what? Notice what it says. It doesn't say they didn't receive the truth. It says they did not receive the love of the truth. See, you can know stuff in your head. Part of the reason, or maybe even the only reason other than the Holy Spirit, why I'm still married to Scotty today, because that man can get on my last nerve. And I love him. There's nobody on this earth besides the Holy Ghost that loves him more than I do. But like I said, he can get on my last nerve. And see, we had a lot of stuff that happened in our lives before we got saved, and different stuff like that that tried to carry over, that we had to do away with, and all kinds of stuff. And we come across this scripture, and it's found over in Malachi. I'm having trouble thinking this morning. It's found over in Malachi. And I think it's the Amplified Bible says it this way: that God hates divorce. Now, over the years, I can't tell you how many, but been saved for nearly 30 years, there's been a lot of times that I have had to go back to that verse I can remember one time when we had a blazer. I got in the blazer, and I drove all the way to Faith Restoration just to sit in the parking lot and cry and talk to God and telling God, God, I love him, but I can't live with him. I just can't do it, God. I know your word says that you hate divorce, God, but I can't do it. You're going to have to help me. Now, why am I telling you all? Because I love that scripture. I am called to love what God loves, and I am called to hate what God hates. So we're talking about lying and deception. See, that you got people today, it's okay. Everything's okay. I seen a thing on Facebook not too long ago, a post that saying, you know, it's okay if you get a divorce, and it's okay if you do this, and it's okay if you do that. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. Now, I don't down anybody that has gotten a divorce. I mean, had it been not for God, I'd probably be there 5 times or more. You know, so I'm not judging or down on anybody that has got a divorce or anything like that, that you made choices in your life that should have not been made. But how many knows the buck needs to stop today? Because, see, if I don't keep the love of that truth, of that word in my heart, not just know truth, but to love the truth, to love that word, to love God. You know, some people say, well, I thought we were supposed to love Jesus. That's what I said. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm talking about loving all of them and loving the word, loving the written word, right? If I don't love that, then one day will come, Johnny, I will divorce him. Not because I don't love him. It's just because of the conflict and different things. I mean, you got people, I'm telling you, they're like, they don't, my wife or my husband, they don't love me anymore. Well, boo-hoo. Who told you to care about that? Y'all not saying nothing. We gonna stay with the word, right? It's not my job to be concerned whether or not Scotty's loving me according to the scriptures, if he's loving me like Christ loved the church or not. I can't tell you if he is or not, because I'm not inside his heart. There's times that he has done things that I'm like, that is so dumb. That is not what I wanted. There's times he buys me, just for an example, he bought me a lawnmower, not recently. This has been years ago. So I do all the yard mowing, you know, when I'm able and all that stuff. So he goes, he loves me, Johnny. So he goes and he buys me this big old John Deere lawnmower. What's the thing, 58-4 cut or something? Anyway, and my yard, if y'all have ever seen it, is one complete hill. There's no level spot pretty much on there anywhere. And because that deck is so wide, a lot of times at certain spots, it will dig up the dirt and rocks on this side and leave the grass a little bit high over here. I do not like that lawnmower. But he loves me. And I told him, I said, listen, if you love me, let me pick out my own lawnmower, because this is not working. But see, before God, he did that out of an honest and pure heart because he loved me and wanted to help me. Do you get what I'm saying? So therefore, I can't always determine whether or not his actions is love toward me. Because how many knows, have y'all ever told y'all's kids this, you about to spank them, and you're like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? I never said that because it didn't. I'm not going to lie. But I hear, Aubrey told me one time, I think Beth had told her that before, or Travis or somebody. And she told me, she said, Grandma, that's just stupid. That don't even make no sense. You spank me because you love me and it's going to hurt you more than it does me? She's embarrassed now. Sorry, Aubrey. We all get it, honey, that's in this family. We just have to tell everything. She said, that just don't even make no sense. That's dumb. God says he spanks you because he loves you. Y'all know what chastisement is, don't you? It's not judgment. Judgment, that's the end of it. That's not good. But chastisement, the Bible says, he chastises us because he loves us to correct us. That's what we do with our children, don't we? So you can't always determine love by how it makes you feel. Y'all not saying nothing. See, I know I love him. I committed to him. I married him for some reason, and I don't have to feel it. There's times I don't have this ooey-gooey, overflowing feeling of love toward God. Y'all not saying nothing. Then there's other days I'm just like, oh, God, I'm just melted by your presence. Why? All that's feelings. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, I can't find a feeling in there anywhere, Sandy. I find commitment. Right? But see, you've got people all over, I'm talking about Christian people, all over the world, they get divorced because I don't feel like you love me anymore, or I don't feel like you love me. Well, who told you you're supposed to go by what you feel? You go by the word, right? The Bible says the two shall become what? One. And at my house, we're me. And Scotty says not. Right? The two shall become one. Well, let's be me. But God says, no, we can't be you. But y'all got to be like me or whatever. But do you see what I'm saying? There's so many Christians today, they're going by the way the world is going. They're going by how they feel. They're going by these lying, deceiving spirits that it's okay. See, my grandkids don't know a world where men can't marry men and women can't marry women. They don't know a world like that. I remember a world like that. But the devil and all of his people are trying to change it. I told Scotty this, I'm telling you, it gets me fired up. I told Scotty this morning, I said, they will not change my America. If you don't like the way this country is, don't come here. Because it is this good, it has been this good, making everybody want to come here. Then they want to come here and they want to change it from what it was, why they come here. Does that make any sense? No. If something's good, why mess with it? Because then it won't be good anymore. And you know what? Israel is because God loves them. America is because we love God. That's why America came to be about. And I'm telling you, there's been quotes before that said the only thing that doesn't restrain it, that lets evil just go, is for good men to do nothing. Well, I'm not here to do just nothing. And I'm not talking about all in the natural. I'm talking about these lying, deceiving spirits that is running around here in and on Christians. I didn't say they was demon possessed. You understand a Christian can be highly influenced by demonic activity. Just don't control your thoughts. Just do whatever you feel and they will just lead you around by the nose. But it's not going to happen to God's people. Amen? Especially not here. But this going by how you feel. The Bible says, from the beginning, we're supposed to walk and live by what? What is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Faith is believing. Right? There's not a bit of feeling in that. You can have feelings sometimes, but that's not where to go to by. See, that's why I told you the story of how it's been for me this week. My every feeling I have had this week has been off. Even when I went to pick the clothes out this morning. When I go to pick out the clothes for church, I either see them the night before, in my mind's eye I can see what we're supposed to have, or when I go in there and I open the door, my eyes just fall on and I have a witness on the inside. None of that this morning. What do? You walk and you go by faith. Why? He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end. So it doesn't matter if you don't feel like he's with you. If you're born again, he says, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He won't do it. But it's time that you got to walk and you got to do what you do by faith according to the written word and the witness on the inside of you, regardless of what anybody else does. I know one time I was actually a little bit complaining to the Lord because there was somebody that I knew or whatever, and they just talk about the Lord and serve the Lord and blah, 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 and they get to go do this and they get to do that and all that. And I'm like, God, why do you just let them go do all of that and I have to do this? He said, who told you I let them go do all that? You don't know what I tell you. See, just because somebody's doing something or looks like that God's allowing them to do something doesn't mean that he is, because everybody's not obeying him. And we don't need to be following those that are not obeying him, right? I don't care who it is. Because, see, you got these lying, deceiving spirits that are coming around, and they're trying to deceive God's people. Then you've got the things going on in the world. It's not just happening in America. I've been saying it's happening all over the place. All kinds of things that you would not believe that would be happening. Let's go on reading here. Y'all remember what verse we got to? 11. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. We have to love it, don't just know it. That they might be saved. And for this cause, because they wouldn't love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Like I told you a while ago, my grandkids don't know a world where same-sex marriage can't be done. I remember that world. How many knows God is for that world? That's not pleasing to Him. You know, I have people in my own family, you know, that's what they believe that they are, and that's the way they live, and I've talked to them about it, and I told them, I said, y'all know I don't go for that or agree with that, right? They're like, yeah. I said, but I love you. You know that, right? That I love you, and I don't think I treat you any different than any of the rest of them. They're like, no, I know you do, and no, you don't treat me any different. But see, the point of that is, they know I don't go with that. Do they know you don't go with that? And the only reason why I don't go with that is because God doesn't go with that. I didn't make this up. I have to stay with this. You have to stay with this. Because if you don't, He says here, God's going to send a strong delusion and they're going to believe a lie. And one place says they're going to believe a lie and they're going to be damned. Why? Not because they won't. They can't. When you believe something is the truth, really in your heart, you won't change. Even if it is a lie. Now, God is merciful if you will repent, right? Anytime you ask God for mercy, you go back and you look in the Old Testament. Every single time they repented and asked God for mercy, He showed it. Every time. But when they didn't, what'd they get? Judgment. Not because God's not merciful. It's because they wouldn't repent and ask for mercy. Let's go on here. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. That's what He's telling us this morning. He says, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. In other words, by while I'm preaching to you, He's saying, or the letters I've written to you. This is a letter that He wrote. He says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. A lot of people need comfort today. They're going through so much. And how many knows that the enemy, he has no mercy. And that's where we come in. We're to show people kindness. We're to show people comfort. Not agree with their sin. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? I can disagree with you all day long, but still love you. He goes on here and he says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now go over to, I think I want to go back to 2 Timothy 3. I wanted to read the whole chapter of 2 Timothy 2 too, but. Chapter 2, I'm not going to read that whole thing. Let me just read this here. Verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do y'all see how many times he's talking about the truth here? He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and over. Throw the faith of some. Now, I told you already that that's part of the problem they was having here. Some was running around. How many knows it doesn't just have to be this for you to err from the truth? You can err from the truth in any area. Verse 17, I think it is in the Amplified. Well, 16. He says, but avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their teaching will devour. You can't listen to just everybody. He says, it will eat its way like cancer or spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have missed the mark and swerved from the truth by arguing that the resurrection has already taken place. They are undermining the faith of some. Do you realize that's what these demons are doing today? Trying to undermine people's faith. Let's go to let's just pick it up in 21. He starts talking about a great house. It has vessels of gold and silver and stuff like that. And if you cleanse yourself from the latter, you'll be one of those. So here in 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Continue on chapter 3. Because he didn't just start chapter 3 here in verse 1. This is a continuation. Y'all do realize that this stuff was added for our reference, these chapters. He's continuing here. He says, this know also that in the last days. Now, he believes they're in the last days right here. And they probably was. And if they was in the last days right here, you better believe we are in the last sliver of the last days. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word, the Amplified says, but understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress. I have never seen as much stress on people as I do. I'm talking about God's people as I do right now, a lot of them. He says, and trouble. There are times that are hard to deal with and they're hard to bear. I believe it's the New Living Bible, maybe. It says these times will be hard to be a Christian. Let's go on here. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Golly, Mom. Do y'all realize how deep this goes? It's me loving me more than I love God. Or more than I love my neighbor or my husband. Right, see, that's where it goes back to. Who is that all about when the husband or the wife says, well, I just don't feel like you're loving me anymore. You don't treat me right. You know, you don't have relations with me like you should or whatever. Y'all not saying nothing. We got kids in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all never heard none of this stuff, have you? Glad you're honest, Johnny. Yes, we hear it. See, listen, whatever we don't talk about in church, you better believe these kids is hearing it at school and it ain't right. See, there's guys, and even girls nowadays, I'm telling you, some of these girls are something else. Used to be guys chase girls, now girls chase girls and guys. See, they tell you, oh, I love you. Not if you're putting pressure on me to do things that I know my God and that in my heart I don't want to do, but you're telling me I don't if I don't love you? Whatever. That is not love whatsoever. Why? Because love cares about how I feel. Love cares about how God is about something or whatever. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? But he says here in these days that he's talking about, they're going to be lovers of self. That means it's all about me. Joyce Myers, that just thought about Joyce Myers, does that little robot thing, all about me, all about me, all about me. Y'all seen that? I'm not going to do the little thing there. But anyway, y'all seen it. You know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. They love their self. If I want to do something, I'm going to do it. Why? I'm not going to deny myself anything. I need this. I should have this. You should treat me a certain way. Listen, I've heard it out of ministers that have said before, you know, so-and-so went over here to minister and they didn't give them a big offering and this, that. Who said they should have given them a big offering? Who are you looking to? Hey, why don't you go up there and take the people an offering? Oh, that would be a novel thought, wouldn't it? Never heard of that one before. Let me ask you a question. How many of you women in here that are married have ever bought your husband candy and flowers? how many women in here when it's your birthday? Oh, I can hear it. When it's Valentine's Day? Oh, I hear it more. What y'all want, ladies? God, why is it getting so quiet in here? You want candy? You want flowers? You want a card? Then how come you're not giving them candy and flowers and a card? Do you think it's your sex? Your gender is why you're supposed to get all that? Y'all, way too quiet. Scotty can't say it. I buy him flowers. I usually buy him lemons. Why? He don't like candy. So for anniversary or something like that, you know, I'll get him a card, and I have got him flowers before, but most of the time he don't pay no attention. So usually I'll get him a card, and I'll get him one of those bags of lemons. And he's like, oh, you know me best, don't you? And he gets his knife out, he just starts peeling it. Why? See, whatever you're wanting somebody to do for you, or you would like or wish somebody would do for you, it doesn't matter if it's your husband or you, do it for them. The Bible says if you want to friends, what you got to do? Show yourself friendly. Oh, now we're getting back to what we've been talking about, right? You reap what you sow. But see how that spirit is? It's all about me. They don't love me. They didn't get me no candy. There was 1 year Scotty didn't. It was our anniversary. He didn't get me nothing. It was the first year he bought that land over there. Golly, Mom, I wanted to go set fire to the whole place over there. Because I felt like, I'm telling you, I'm just going to, I felt like he would stay over there day and night, 8, 9 o'clock at night and all kinds of stuff, you know. And he's got a dream and he feels driven, and I'm not saying none of that's wrong or whatever. But I felt like I'm abandoned. Put your laugh on. I'm abandoned. I stay here all day. I cook supper. I eat it by myself. I'm here till 9 o'clock at night by myself, all for you to get up and do it all over again the next day. Who's all that about? What did he say? They'll be lovers of self. See, that's what the devil is. That's what pride is. Pride is not big boast and everything. Pride is all you look at is you. And so what the devil does, I will make myself like God. I will ascend into the heavens. Why? Ain't looking at God, ain't looking at people, it's all about me. That's what loving self is. It's all about me. These people, they don't tithe because it's all about me. I need this. I want this. I got to have this. No faith, no trust in God. See, you know the reason why you won't give it is because you don't trust God. The Bible says that perfected love casts out all fear. Why? Because fear's got torment. You don't believe God can get it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom before you need it. But he says he can. Don't he? He says he will. So see, everything can't be about me. There's people, they go to church just to check off the box that they went because it makes them feel better. They won't do one thing in the church. They won't fast for no service. They won't pray for no service. They won't do no teaching. They ain't going to keep no nursery. Y'all not saying nothing. See, the more, just like in a house. I don't know if it's how it is at y'all's house or not. That's the way it is at my house. Now, when you want or whatever, I'm going to change your diapers. I'm going to give you the bottle. I'm going to clean up your toys. But when you get on up here, 2, 3, 4, 5, don't you even, I better not even have to tell you I'm going to pick up them toys. Why? Because as you get older and you grow and you develop, they should be something that you are contributing to this household. Oh, but how come when we come over here to the church, everybody's else supposed to be doing something? Not me. I'm just supposed to go to church. Who's that about? And you hear them, I go into church today to get my blessing. Oh, Lord. Well, you probably ain't going to get one if you don't go bless somebody else. Why? Because everything in the kingdom is what you put in is what gets shaken up, pressed down, running over, not just money, returns right back unto you. Why? Because you will reap whatever you sow. But he says there in those days, what is it, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of themselves. And he ain't just talking about gender there, mankind. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, That is a big one. That one right there gets on my last nerve. When I go in somewhere and you are there to help me and serve me, and you add, oh, I wish you wasn't even here. I pay your paycheck. Y'all not saying nothing. What is this? This is an entitlement that you owe me. I should, yeah, I get a paycheck, I work here, but God forbid I should have to help you load lumber. Y'all not saying nothing. I thought that's what you're there for. Oh, does it really come to that? Y'all don't say none of this, do you? I reckon I just live in my own little bubble around here because y'all not helping me none. Or you go to a restaurant. One time we was at a restaurant, oh, Lord. Sometimes I can come out a little hard in case y'all hadn't noticed. We're at a restaurant anyway, and this guy is a waiter. He brings our stuff, you know, and I usually like to get extra napkins because this place, they give you one napkin and your fork and stuff is in it. Scotty needs about 10. The man can't eat without it's everywhere. He enjoys his food, you know. So I usually ask for extra napkins. Well, when our waiter come, brought our drinks and all that, and I told him, I said, can you bring us some extra napkins, please? Not a special trip, just when you come back or whatever. He said, no, you ain't getting none. Kidding or not, I don't care. This ain't the time to be kidding because I'm serious. And I looked at him. I said, that's fine, then no tip. And he said, blank. I'm not going to say the word. He said, blank. That changed quick. I said, it sure did. Well, guess what? You don't want to come and serve me? I'm not here to bless you because I don't owe you nothing. You hear what I'm telling you? Do you understand God is the same way? He says, whatever measure you use will be what's measured back to you again. If you sow sparingly, y'all not saying nothing, how you reap? Bountifully. How you reap? All right. If you want a tip, bring me my napkins and don't give me no lip. Why? You are in customer service. You are supposed to at least act like you want to serve somebody. Y'all not saying nothing. But we got people all over the place. They laying around, don't want to do nothing, and act like we all owe them something. I don't owe you nothing but the truth and to love you. And love sometimes is tearing your tail up. You don't believe it? Ask your kid next time you go to tear the tail up. It's because I love you. Remember what I told you? It's because I love you. That's what God says. But he says he does it for our benefit, that he's not like our natural fathers. God corrects us because he loves us, right? Well, I'm not going to contribute to your deception of everybody's supposed to take care of you. That's not going to happen. Why? You are supposed to, at a certain age, be growing up and developing and become a productive citizen, a productive person in the church. You understand that? Why? I'm not going to always be here. Either I'm going to die or I'm going to fly. I don't know which is going to come first. Now I'm planning on at least 140 years. I know we're promised 120, but I've not took real good care of myself, so we'll just damper it down to 104. That'll be okay. I think I'll be satisfied by then. Surely, if I'm not satisfied by then, I don't think 105 is going to change it much. What's that mean? Somebody got to get on these drums up here or they ain't going to be one. Somebody's got to be doing the Sunday school or they ain't going to be none. Y'all not hearing nothing I'm saying. Who is it? Well, we believe God, he'll send laborers into the harvest. You know, you read that scripture last week. Honey, the laborers is probably you. Why? You've been trained up here. What did he say? He said, to the traditions that you have learned. Right? You didn't learn them over yonder. You learned them over here, wherever God put you. Right? So when he raises you, now there'll be some that you'll go out and come back in, and some of you may go out, do your own thing that God's called you to do, kind of like us, but we still have the relationship that is still there with Brother Brad and all of those. But the majority of you will be here. Why? Because somebody's got to continue on. April's not going to be back there and Sandy teaching them kids forever. Who's going to do it? Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says here. Unthankful. Do you understand thankfulness is a key to more? Just in the natural. You be honest now. I know you will. We don't got no liars in here, surely. We don't. You just be honest now. Say you give somebody something and they act like you owed it to them. they don't say thank you, just snatch it out of your hand. Does it really give you all warm and fuzzies and you just want to give them something else? Are you sure? I thought you was like God. He don't either. A key to more is thankfulness and gratefulness. That I don't deserve your goodness, God, but thank you, Father. You are so good to me. You are so merciful and so faithful to me, and I don't deserve it. Oh, that right there, God said, here, get you a little more. Yeah, he does. He says, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. Now you can have 15 lawyers pull up documents. Everybody sign them, and you can get out of it. Y'all not saying nothing? My, truce breakers. There's people that their word means nothing. Monty and them, when they moved in that house, wherever that was at, I can't remember. Anyway, going toward the interstate over there, whatever that place was over there. When they moved over there, they told them something about they was Christians or whatever. And what'd that lady say? It don't mean much to her. Why? Because evidently, sometime or another, somebody else lived there before, and they said they was Christians, and it just did not line up. So now, for her to hear that they're Christians don't really mean a whole lot to her. But I think after y'all got done, it did. Yeah. Why? Because you got the real, that they really going to serve God. Yeah, they got problems. Yeah, they got issues. But you can see fruit of God in their lives. Just because we have things that we're dealing with, ain't nobody alive without an issue. Not a one. But you can tell the difference. I got like a minute here. He says, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of all that is good, or of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. He says they have a form of godliness. They go to church and check the box, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But notice what he said up there. He says, accusers of the despisers of those that are good. The Bible talks about, I believe it's in Proverbs, he says in the last days that they're going to call good evil. Do you know right now, for a lot, I don't think everybody does it, but for a lot of people, they find out you're a Christian, you know what you're called? A homophobic racist. Now, I can get the homophobe, because, you know, we're not for gays and lesbians, according to the scripture or whatever. Don't matter to me what your preference is, but that's the word. But then, racist? How does that got anything to do with racism? Don't even make no sense. What is it, though? Because now they're trying to say we're the ones that's wrong. And if we say we're not for gay marriage, if we say we're not for abortion, if we say that we're not for this and that, of what the Word says, not our opinion, but of what the Word says, you're not walking in love. Really? You better read this Bible. I'm walking in the highest love that I can. Number one, that I love God. And number two, that I will tell you the truth and love you out of what you're in. I've got to stop because actually my time is a little bit up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share before we close?